RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian president calls on regional governments to promote identities. Public education on violence against women should be encouraged. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on regional governments to develop their signature characters and identities to lure more investment. The president said many regional governments had developed commodities that were in fact absent in their regions rather than develop their regional potentialities. He took, for example, that a region which cacao as its signature commodity had instead over investment in other commodities. The president also asked regency administrations to avoid being trapped in bureaucratic routines so they could make strategic policies for the regions. The president said when opening the Regency Administrations Association's 2015 International Trade and Investment Summit at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran Central Jakarta on Wednesday that a lot of economic potentialities in regions have yet to be promoted because regional governments are trapped in routines, whereas he sees there are a lot to be over to investors. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has issued a presidential instruction on the prevention and eradication of corruption. The presidential instructions number 7/2015 contains 96 action plans that have to be carried out by all central and regional government officials in 2015. Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Board, Bappenas, Andrianop Chaniago, said in a press statement on Tuesday that the Bappenas will monitor and evaluate the implementation of the instruction, especially in ministries, state institutions supported by the Finance and Development Supervisory Agency, BPKP. The Bappenas and BPKP will conduct analysis, coordination, and facilitation with regard to resolving problems in eradicating and preventing corruption, including presenting a report periodically on the implementation of the action plans and making it known to the public. Moreover, the Ministry of Home Affairs will periodically monitor and evaluate its implementation in regional administrations. Presidential Instruction Number 7/2015 contains 96 action plans on corruption eradication and prevention, including explanations regarding the criteria of success following its implementation. Former Commissioner of the National Commission for Women, Neng Dara Afia, encourages the spread of public education on violence against women in all regions in Indonesia. Dara Afia answered questions on the increasing levels of violence against women in Indonesia on Tuesday in Jakarta. According to her, in addition to spreading public education to people in remote areas in Indonesia, the government should also establish a complaint service center for women victims of violence, especially in regional police offices.
Pendidikan publiknya ini kan belum tersebar ya di berbagai tempat, banyak masyarakat yang
the public education has not been spread completely. Many people have not recognized any form of violence against women, either by men or women. No NGOs, not recognizing national mechanism as well. No existence of service agencies, and there is no complaint center in regional policies office yet. this still happens in Indonesia.
Di berbagai daerah di Indonesia.
The violence against women continues to rise. National Commission for Women recorded at least more than 290,000 cases of violence against women occurred by the end of 2014. Those numbers was dominated by violence against women in the household. To that matter, Nengdara Afia also encouraged the implementation of the legislation protection of domestic violence, which has been ratified by the government to reduce the number of violence against women. The strategic way to expedite the growth of halal-based tourism is to largely ensure affordability. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya said, the minister stated in Jakarta on Thursday that affordability is to raise the per capita income of tourists. To achieve this target, prices of tourism products and services should be reduced so they can be afforded and enjoyed by all communities, Yahya explained. Currently, tourism costs in Indonesia and other member states of ASEAN are very competitive. The ministry urged tourism business players to be more active in making their products and services innovative. Decreasing the prices will make everything affordable. If all things can be afforded, then halal tourism will be their primary need. Another way to ensure that this target is achieved is to make creative tourism products so more foreign tourists visit Indonesia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that it is impossible to lower Bank Indonesia's benchmark interest rate if inflation remains high. Inflation is currently at 6.79%, while the Bank Indonesia rate is set at 7.5%. Speaking at a seminar dubbed Strategies to a Resistant National System of Finance and Banking Architecture in Jakarta on Wednesday, the minister said Indonesia's inflation rate should no longer a major issue. Bambang mentioned the Philippines, a country with similar characteristics as Indonesia. There, he said, inflation rate is low at just 2-3% per year. The government-regulated prices are no longer an inflation factor, and the country only has core inflation and volatile food. Bambang also said that the recent fuel subsidy cut should not be seen as a way to provide fiscal space only, but as fundamentals achievement. The ultimate objective is to leave inflation to Bank Indonesia only, which is the core inflation. Directorate of History and Culture Value of the Ministry of Education and Culture is holding public screening of inspiring movies in several cities in Indonesia. The event is held in 25 cities that have no cinema. One of them is in Purwakarta, in West Java Province. The head of Subdirectorate for Verification and Formulation of Cultural Value of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Triana Wulandari, on Thursday said the public movie screening was held to give opportunities for teachers and students in small cities to watch good movies. This event is expected to inspire and build national character.
Kemendikbud melalui salah satu cara yang tugas pokoknya memang membina karakter.
The Ministry of Education and Culture has a task to build character. Watching inspiring movies could hopefully change people's behavior, or at least give inspiration.
The national movie screening in the public viewing parties are considered to represent the positive values to build national character. The movies are, among others, Cahaya dari Timur, Sekolah Rimba, and Sugiya. The Directorate General of Culture has chosen movies as audiovisual media to deliver messages to build good character. The Jayaraya Diving Club is planting millions of mangrove seedlings, which is a nature reserve of Karya Island in Panggang Island, Thousand Islands. The Putih region of Thousand Islands, Budi Utomo, who also serves as chairman of Jayaraya Diving Club, disclosed the planting is a form of the environmental awareness. He stated on Thursday that such planting can transform Karya Island region into a vegetation coastal residential that could be ecological city. Thousand Islands Region Trijoko Sri Margianto assessed the planting was initiated by Seribu Island Administration as one of form of conservation and program. Margianto added that mangrove is used as the spawning site for fish, crab, and so on. In the future, if it is developed well, this will be fish breeding and ecosystem sites. Another mangrove function is also able to restrain coastal abrasion and breakwater or wave waters. Through this mangrove planting, it is hoped can become a benchmark in the future and Thousand Islands become a great potential coastal area. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listener. This is commentary read by Steve, The Future of the Ceasefire in Yemen. At attacks by Saudi Arabia-led allied forces on Yemen's Saada city, where many residents are trapped, violate the international law, although there are calls for residents to leave the area. That was the United Nations stance after Saudi Arabia-led coalition forces attacked Saada Matalwat region a few days ago. According to the United Nations, the attack was contradictory to the international humanitarian law, as it was done over a populated area. The attack was targeting to control centers of Houthi rebels, destroying mines and Houthi's transportation hub. Houthi's two command centers in the province were also destroyed. The attack also damaged the tomb of Houthi movement founder, Hussein al-Houthi. Based on the international law, all disputing parties must avoid measures posing a danger to the people. The unmanned infrastructure should not be located in densely populated area, which would endanger the citizens. However, the situation that often happens is that the rebels take advantage of the citizens and civilian facilities as a shield to protect themselves. This is indeed also happening in Yemen. The coalition claimed the attack was targeting Houthi rebels after they launched a series of shootings in the city of Najran on the Saudi-Yemeni border that killed 5 Saudis on Thursday, May 6, 2015. The coalition forces was retaliating for the attack, as normally happens in the war. For the Saudi Arabian coalition, the action of Houthi rebels who attacked a town on the Saudi-Yemen border was a big mistake. After Houthi attacked Najran, the Saudi authorities immediately responded. At least 130 attacks were launched by the Saudi military in the Saada region, regarded as the Houthis' stronghold. These attacks were in response to the Houthis' attack in Najran. To that end, there should be a neutral attitude in judging who is at fault in the fighting in the Yemen. A person must not assess that only one party is in the wrong. There should be a more thorough examination. There is no smoke without fire, the proverb says. The attacks launched in Saada have limited Houthi's movement. The attack managed to prevent the rebel groups from re-entering the territory of Saudi Arabia. Then, the question is, what about the future of the ceasefire between the two warring parties? Saudi Arabia has reminded the Houthi of the Saudi-United States brokered ceasefire. The truce will only happen if the Houthi rebels accept and respect the ceasefire. The truce offered proposed by the coalition forces could be suddenly cancelled if the Houthi is not responsive to the agreement, as happened recently. Previously, Houthi fighters said it welcomed the positive efforts to reduce the suffering of the people of Yemen as a sign that they would accept a ceasefire. The truce is to begin next week. Humanitarian aid agencies and several countries, including Indonesia, urge a ceasefire so that relief can enter the country. With the ceasefire, humanitarian aid is expected to enter Yemen. However, the future of this truce is in doubt as a result of the Houthi attacks and the counterattacks from the coalition forces. One thing that the two warring parties should keep in mind is that there is no ultimate victory in war. There is only suffering and destruction. That was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from May 13, 1979, Islamic Revolutionary Government of Iran cancels capitulation agreement. Capitulation agreement is an agreement jointly made by the United States with the Shah Pahlavi regime. Since it was enacted on October 13, 1964,
The agreement actually very controversial and full of humiliation. Based on the agreement, all American citizens living in Iran have impunity for any actions. They could only be tried in their own country, the United States. Leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Imam Khomeini, has made it as one of the issues of revolution struggle. Opposition action that never stops from Imam Khomeini against the capitulation agreement is one reason of exiled action instructed by the Shah against Imam Khomeini. However, the policy even further fanned the flames of the revolutionary struggle to achieve victory in 1979. Finally, after the collapse of Pahlavi dynasty, Iran's new Islamic government cancelled capitulation treaty on May 13, 1979. On May 13, 1980, Pope John Paul II is shut down in St. Peter's Square, Vatican. The first attempted assassination of Pope John Paul II took place on Wednesday, May 13, 1981, in St. Peter's Square at Vatican City. The Pope was shot and wounded by Mehmet Ali Agha while he was entering the square. The Pope was struck four times and suffered severe blood loss. Agha was apprehended immediately and later sentenced to life in prison by an Italian court. The Pope later forgave Agha for the assassination attempt. He was pardoned by Italian President Carlo Zelio Ciampi at the Pope's request and was deported to Turkey in June 2000. We conclude with an event on May 13, 1998. May riot caused former President Suharto resign from his post. May unrest was preceded with the Asian financial crisis and the killing of four Trisakti University students in a demonstration in Jakarta on May 12th. The killing of the four students sparked outrage and led to students and people demanding the fall of President Suharto. The riot, which began on May 13, 1988, then spread to the cities in some areas for several days. Finally, seeing the situation continues to deteriorate, on May 21, 1998, Suharto resigned as President of Indonesia and handed over to B.J. Habibie. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Void Green, today's edition entitled Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI Find New Sex Spaces in Mount Tambora. Researchers team from the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI and expedition team found six new spaces in Mount Tambora, Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara Province. The expedition was conducted to explore biopotential to commemorate 200 years of Mount Tambora eruption. The expedition was conducted for a half month on April 16th to 30th of April 2015. The mountain is located at the height of 2,800 meters above sea level. 48 people who consisted on the expedition team, such as from LIPI, NKRI expedition team, representative of Conservation Section Office of Regional 3 of Bima Dompu, and the local people. Researchers from the Biological Research Center, LIPI, and chairman of the team, Cahyo Rahmadi, on Tuesday in Jakarta revealed that the six spaces which believed as new spaces are two spaces of lizard, two spaces of butterfly, as well as Kalachamati spaces, and an opilinus, a type of spider.
Jadi memang betul proses untuk identifikasi.
I emphasize for new spaces needs identification process and description needs long process. When we decided to declare that there are six new spaces, the team along with taxonomists have previously get real description about various spaces there.
After we get the specimen that we needed, then we compare each other. Then we claim the species as the new ones.
Contoh atau spesimen yang kita inginkan, oh iya, kita bisa tahu, oh ini ketika dibandingkan dengan spesies yang dikenal sebelumnya, kok ternyata tidak cocok atau berbeda. Nah ini makanya kita berani mengklaim sebagai kandidat spesies baru.
According to Cahyo, the six new species in Tambora are found along the hiking tracks of Kawinda Toi that rarely to be passed by the climber. Meanwhile, the expedition team also found various endemic species of West Nusa Tenggara, namely one species of bat and six species of bird. Besides discovering six new species, according to Cahyo, the research team also noted wealth of flora and fauna in the area of Mount Tambora. There are 22 species of flora, 46 species of bird, 21 species of reptiles, 4 species of amphibians, and 10 species of mammals. However, Lippi estimates the number of species could still grow if conducted more in-depth studies. Biodiversity in Mount Tambora is indeed quite remarkable. Based on data of Lippi, at least recorded 230 butterfly night, 10 species of scorpions, 27 species of bee, 21 species of lizard, 4 species of amphibians, 46 species of bird, and 10 species of reptiles. In addition, there are more species of honeybee that has potential of economic value. Listener, that was Voy Green.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Wednesday, May 13, 2015. I'm Donald Pani. We start with the headlines of Kompas newspaper. Kompas, in its headlines, writes, Nepal's suffering still continues. Nepal is still grieving and has not finished cleaning up because of major damage caused by the earthquake, with the magnitude of 7.9 Richter on scale on April 25. An earthquake with a magnitude of 7.3 rocked the country on Tuesday, May 12, 2015. An official of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Nepal, Lakshmi Dhaka, said at least 24 people were killed and 981 citizens were injured because of the latest quake. The earthquake on April 25 caused more than 8,000 people were killed, while about 18,000 people were injured. Hundreds of thousands of citizens of Nepal, both in urban and rural areas, lost their houses. Therefore, the earthquake that occurred on Tuesday, May 12, hundreds of victims still unaccounted for, since they are buried under landslides, rocks, and snow. Thousands of residents who pack in hotels, shops, and homes in the area of Tamil Kathmandu tumbled out when an earthquake measuring 7.3 on the Richter scale occurred. Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Bangladesh and Nepal, Iwan Wiranata Admaja, who was in the post of Indonesian citizen shelter, said he was thrown while trying to flee out the building. According to him, the big shock came suddenly. To prevent the possibility of bad things, Indonesian citizens' shelter will be moved to a safer place. Media Indonesia newspaper in its headlines writes, Restore Maritime Glory. As a maritime country, Indonesia has tremendous potential. In addition to being the center of biodiversity, Indonesia is also known as the largest archipelagic country and has the largest fishery potential of 65 million tons per year. The fourth largest number of occupation and most strategic geographical and geo-economic position in the world, as well as the potential for energy and mineral resources. Actually, maritime culture has been rooted in Indonesia since the prehistoric era. In the era of Majapahit and Sriwijaya, maritime culture of the country was increasingly entrenched. Bogor Agricultural University marine expert Arif Satria said, Indonesia has a great opportunity to be victorious again at sea. However, serious improvements need to be made in various aspects. Therefore, he continued, the government needs to create a grand design to maximize the long-term maritime potential. Related to that, the special arrangements of the sea could be the entrance in order to fix the maritime sector. In addition to accelerating their development and revitalization of infrastructure, Arif suggests the government to cut red tape and simplify licensing. Meanwhile, Republican newspaper wrote in its headline, "Artist prostitution is targeted." The artists and models involved in prostitution could be sentenced. Head of South Jakarta Police Resort, Wahyu Hadiningrat, said, "There is no legal construction to ensnare the female prostitutes. Nevertheless, he said, with further development, the woman could also be charged with a specific article." Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa recognized that the legal umbrella of legislation anti-prostitution did not exist. Therefore, she explained, it continues to incorporate sexual offences and prostitution into the new regulation. Vice Chairman of the National Commission on Violence Against Women, Masrura, urged that the prostitution service, including all the supporting prostitution users, are entangled by the rule of law. Business Indonesia newspaper, in its headlines, writes, "Non-FTA can get 0% import duty." The government plans to liberate the imposition of tariffs on raw materials and semi-finished goods imported from countries that have not signed free trade agreements with Indonesia. The scheme, which is called Inland Free Trade Agreement, is intended to attract foreign investment in the manufacturing sector, substituting imports and encouraging export of consumer goods. Director General of International Trade Cooperation of the Ministry of Trade, Bahrul Khairi, explained, "Unilateral action is granted on condition that the raw materials or semi-finished goods that are imported to be used for producing goods or end products with the local minimal content of 40%, with the preferences similar to FTA treatment." He said, "Indonesia could hold imports of consumer goods, as well as inviting investors whose products can be marketed locally or exported." Well, listener, that was headline.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on regional governments to develop their signature characters and identities to lure more investments. The president said many regional governments had developed commodities that were in fact absent in their regions rather than developed their original potentialities. President Joko Widodo has issued a presidential instruction on the prevention and eradication of corruption. The Presidential Instructions No. 7/2015 contains 96 action plans that have to be carried out by all central and regional government officials in 2015. Former Commissioner of the National Commission for Women, Neng Dara Afia, encourages the spread of public education on violence against women in all regions in Indonesia. The strategic way to expedite the growth of halal-based tourism is to largely ensure affordability, Minister of Tourism Arif Rahia said. The minister stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that affordability is to raise the per capita income of tourists. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that it is impossible to lower Bank Indonesia's benchmark interest rate if inflation remains high. Inflation is currently at 6.79%, while Bank Indonesia rate is set at 7.5%. According to the minister, Indonesia's inflation rate should no longer be a major issue. He said the Philippines, a country with similar characteristics as Indonesia, inflation rate is low at just 2 to 3% per year. Directorate of History and Cultural Value of the Ministry of Education and Culture is holding public screening of inspiring movies in several cities in Indonesia. The event is held in 25 cities that have no cinema. One of them is Purwakarta in West Java province. The Jaya Raya Diving Club is planting millions of mangrove seedlings, which is a nature reserve of Karya Island in Panggang Island, Thousand Islands. Deputy Regent of Thousand Islands, Budi Utomo, who also serves as chairman of Jaya Raya Diving Club, disclosed the planting is a form of the environmental awareness. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'm Steve, will invite you to Banten. Stay tuned. Listener, if you like water sport, snorkeling and diving, Indonesia has marine parks with coral reefs and colorful fish. Bunaken Marine National Park in Manado, North Sulawesi, and Raja Ampat in Papua, for example, have become major tourist destinations in the world for these activities. But you can also find another beautiful places in Indonesia. One of them is Ur Island in Banten Province. This island is part of Ujung Kulon National Park and has smooth white sand beaches and amazing, beautiful sea life. War Island is located at Sumur Village, around 180 kilometers from Jakarta. To reach War Island, it is a long drive, around 6 hours from Jakarta to the Sumur Village. At War Island, you can cross Sumur Village, one of the villages of the Ujung Kulon National Park. From the fish market in this village, tourists can start their trip by taking a boat to War Island. It takes around 10 minutes. Arriving on Oar Island, you will be welcomed by the white curving coastline. This island has plenty of fresh air and blue water. While on the left, there is Umang Island, which is the neighboring island of the Oar Island. The waves on Oar Island are very small and relatively safe for those who want to play in the water or just simply swimming. And if you like adventure, this island is a suitable place. If you like adventure, this island is very suitable for you. Going around this beautiful island only takes 20 minutes. Besides swimming and exploring this island, there are many interesting activities on this island, such as diving, snorkeling, banana boating, and jet skiing. Because Oar Island has beautiful undersea scenery, snorkeling has become a compulsory activity. Snorkeling gear can be rented on Oar Island. When you are snorkeling, your eyes will be dazzled by the various beautiful fish, coral reefs, and other marine biota. Listener, Oar Island is not only to be enjoyed by people who want to play in the sea, but also by those who just want to sit on the beach while watching the beautiful scenery and sunset. If you plan to stay the night, you can set up a tent at the beach, but you must have to get permission from the manager of the island, and do not forget to bring mosquito repellent. And we suggest that you bring your own food, because the stalls at this beach only sell snacks. But you don't have to worry about the restroom facilities, because this island has clean restrooms with fresh water. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Oar Island in Banten Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Hobby, or in English means hobby, so stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that relate to today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Hobby, hobby. In English means hobby. Akhir pekan, akhir pekan. In English means weekend. Suka, suka, which means like. Olahraga, olahraga. In English means sports. Nonton TV, nonton TV. In English, watching TV. Memancing ikan, memancing ikan, which means going fishing. Menyanyi, menyanyi. In English, singing. Menari, menari, which means dancing. Mendengarkan musik klasik, mendengarkan musik klasik. In English, listening to classical music. Nonton film, nonton film. In English, means watching film. Nanti malam, in English, tonight. Nonton sama-sama, which means watching together. Jam berapa, which means what time? Jam tujuh malam, in English, at 7 p.m. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Danu or A and Lina or B. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Apa yang suka kamu lakukan di akhir pekan? Apa yang suka kamu lakukan di akhir pekan? In English, what do you like to do on the weekend? B. Saya suka berolahraga, menonton TV, dan memancing ikan. Saya suka berolahraga, menonton TV, dan memancing ikan. In English, I like doing sports, watching TV, and going fishing. Kalau kamu, in English, and you. A. Aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. Aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. In English, I like singing, dancing, and listening to classical music. B. Apakah kamu suka menonton film? Apakah kamu suka menonton film? In English, do you like watching films? A. Suka. Suka. In English, yes, I do. B. Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita nonton sama-sama? Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita nonton sama-sama? In English, how about watching films together tonight? A. Baik, jam berapa? Baik, jam berapa? In English, okay, what time? B. Jam tujuh malam. Jam tujuh malam. In English, at 7 o'clock. A. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. In English, okay, I'll wait for you at my house. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015.
answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will introduce you Flanella Group Band. Well, coming up next, the first song entitled Aku Bisa.
Sejak engkau mendua, entah apa yang ku rasakan memandang perih menyimpan luka sampai pada saat ini.
Kasihmu
listeners, Flanela came to Indonesian music industry with their album entitled Berjuta Rasa. The process of the album was made in three cities, namely Malang, Bogor, and Bandung, after 3 years in vacuum from the Indonesian music industry. Flanela consisted of 5 personnel, namely Kidnap, Ayi, Dana, Catur, and Ongki. The album Berjuta Rasa, which is the third album of Flanela, is realization of various wishes of the group's personnel to make the album that has initiated the band back to the music industry in Indonesia. Listener, now let's listen to the second song from Flanela entitled Hanya Dirimu. Happy listening.
Lihatlah aku dalam dan biru, bisa mengerti saat kau di sisiku ini. Saat ku melangkah dengan
Flandella Band also presented mellow songs in their newest album and also gave various different nuances that usually they presented. They hope it could be accepted by people, the music lovers in the country. Listener, to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to two songs from Flandella entitled Karena Aku Jatuh Cinta and Saksi. Enjoy the song, happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.